Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Wonderful to be wrapping up this month and wrapping up this year, huh? 2018 is coming to a close.
So, my goodness.
Yes, I hope all of you had a wonderful holiday season and you're looking forward to a wonderful new year. Looking forward. So sounds a bit hopeful, right, Dorothy?
Our topic for today. Yes.
We thought we'd end the year on cosmic relations and hope. Dorothy and I, if I may speak for the both of us, you can correct me if I'm wrong. We had such a wonderful month. There was a month we talked about hope. And it just turned into such a wonderful dynamic conversation of the ways in which hope plays a part in our, you know, really in our expansion on just leading a really creative, exciting life. And so why not move into the new year discussing hope from a cosmic perspective? So, Dorothy, shall we begin with a quote?
Yes, I've got two for us to begin with. The first is from Robert F. Kennedy. He writes, "Each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, these ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance." To me, that's a very hopeful quote as well.
Yes.
And the other one is from Desmond Tutu. "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked before, Steve, about, you know, what are the components of hope, that it's not just, you know, an emotion. It's not just optimism. It includes that. But that it also includes a focus on a goal, a realistic goal that matters to us. It includes seeing many different ways in which we could achieve our goal, which is important because not all of them will work out. And then a tolerance for ambiguity, for being able to fail and learn from that failure and then try a different way forward. And in fact, I'm going to add a third quote, which is from Albert Einstein. "Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new." And so I think that that's really important to remember, that it's not just optimism, it's also setting goals and working towards them. There's, again, there's the action component to the attitude of hope.
Oh, Dorothy, you just said so much juicy stuff. I just want to go back a second because I would love for us both to sort of underscore the importance. And it's what we came to that I found so fascinating. To this day, I still ponder hope. And that idea of that there are uncertain outcomes, that that hope, and it was within that first quote about a ripple effect, you know, that mm-hmm. that moves out as a current, I think you said, which made me think of hope as having that same effect of moving out into this sea of potential. And so, as you know, so many people start a new year with an intention, you know, that an intention creates our experiences, basically. But if we can tincture that with hope, meaning that we are aware that there are so many possibilities and ways that that intention may express or may appear or that we may experience it, that allows this, the lightness of hope in. Whereas we've made that distinction in the past of talking about hope where we say, I hope Darren comes to dinner tonight. It's so definitive. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. There's a difference between hoping something specific is going to happen, and that in a way is setting up a condition. Like, this should happen or else I'm not going to be happy. And we've got to watch out for that. But to be hopeful is a very different way of looking at a situation, to be hopeful that the best possible, scenario will happen for this evening, or to be hopeful to be surrounded by friends, or, it's that hope seems to really work best when we've got this, you mentioned ambiguity, when we've got this flexibility to us and a trust in the universe, a trust in a cosmic sense of that which is best will, come forward, and that we sort through it. We make decisions, but that hope allows for the appearance of the intentions, if we're thinking in terms of intention. So I love that.
Well, yeah. Well, I would add to what you just said that the best can come forward if we do the work. We can't just sit passively by, and say, okay, universe, present to me what's going to happen. And I think it's important also to underscore, Steve, following on what you were saying, that this relates back to our basic understanding of what the cosmos is. The cosmos is a network of possibilities. This is what quantum physics has shown us. Anything is possible. Some things have a very, very small probability of occurring, and others have a very high probability of occurring. But we are not in the kind of objective cause and effect universe that Newton described. We are in a probabilistic universe, which means, and to me that is directly related to hope, that anything is possible.
And it's an attitude that hope, when you say anything is possible, there's almost a hopeful quality to that. So, it's moving through, you could probably go through all of the seven principles that we talked about, these ways in which our solar system or our cosmology operates, and you could look at the ways in which hope plays a part to each and every one of those, that we create our own reality is the one that comes to mind. Participation, we create our own reality. So we've got to move.
Let's do that after the break. Let's go through those principles.
Not just
say that they could be, but let's actually do that.
They are. But yeah. When you said we've got to do something, we can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. There's got to be initiative. We've got to move. We've actually got to participate. And it is moving through that with a sense of hope. It's almost like the water that brings it all to life. We have this intention or we've got a desire. And it's as if hope creates this sort of, it goes from black and white to color, because you are allowing for options. You are allowing for that potentiality to play out.
I think this is also linked to a concept that we've talked about before about attachment or detachment. That hope, to me, requires that we detach ourselves from how it's going to occur. That's part of the experimentation process, right? That we have the goal. We know what we're working towards, but there are many different ways of getting there. And we try A, and it doesn't work out. We try B, it doesn't work out. We try C, D, and suddenly E works, and that's great. But we have to be willing to experiment, to try many different options. We can't just say, there's one right way, and it's going to happen. I'm going to affirm that that's going to happen. That kind of attachment really doesn't work out very well.
Well, and also, I think there's a relationship to limitation where, as you talk about attachment, I think of a limitation, and hope often arises when we perceive limitations, that we're in a corner or we're stuck, that we don't see the options. It's almost like hope comes to the rescue as a way of mm-hmm. expanding those possibilities of generating potential, as you mentioned, potentiality. So it is this wonderful when we can generate that, this response to these perceived limitations or even attachment to something, that it is in the process of letting that go, of opening ourselves up to a variety of options, that we get hopeful. We see the light, right? We say, oh, you know, I was in such a bind, but okay, I'm hopeful that this will turn into something else. And that's then when all of the opportunities start to arrive.
Mm-hmm. And so what we hold on to is the belief that there is a way forward. We just have to find it, right?
Yes.
We have to keep experimenting. We have to keep trying. There is a resolution, or more than one, that can work out for us.
Yes. Why people in the new year, right? When you've got a new year resolutions, if we're too attached to it or too specific about it, they often tend to just go awry immediately, you know? So it's a matter of staying open. Optimism, there's so much to optimism. When we talk about hope, we talked about that in that whole month, we talked about how optimism kept coming to the surface, that if we can generate optimism, and I find that appreciation and gratitude go such a long way. You know, if we can learn to appreciate, if we can wake up in the morning, look around, and find a few things to be grateful for, to be appreciative of, you are really reinforcing the abundance that is available. And with that, you generate optimism. And from that optimism, you generate hope. So something so simple, you know, is writing down 3, 5, even 10 things that you are grateful for, or to walk past something, and instead of, we talked about criticism on the last show, instead of picking something out about it that you don't like, try to find something you do like about it. Even if it's something that you don't like, try to find something you appreciate. It really can then help generate that optimism, which leads naturally to hope. So Dorothy, we're at our first break. When we come back,
okay.
Look forward to it. We're going to go through the 7 principles in relationship to hope. That sounds fun.
Yes.
Right back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with 5. That's right, 5 of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. We are here as a result of a collaboration between two organizations, the School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire. So we always love to take a few minutes during this segment to just tell you a bit about our organizations and what they're up to. Dorothy, would you like to take the mic?
Sure. So the School for Esoteric Studies is an educational nonprofit. And you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We provide training for persons who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen, and we do that through meditation, study, and service. But in addition to that individual work, we have a number of group initiatives. We have our subjective group conference, which we do every year at the what's known as the three linked festivals, the full moons of Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. And we're going to be focusing, Steve, this year on the movement from the important shift from suffering to joy, to recognizing that joy is, in fact, the keynote of the universe. So I think that's very relevant to the topic of hope. And I hope we will come back and talk more about that. We also purposely look for organizations to collaborate with, and we are thrilled to be collaborating with Spirit Fire on this radio program. If any of you listening belong to organizations that would like to collaborate with the School for Esoteric Studies, please look at our website at esotericstudies.net and the section on intergroup collaboration. And reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. And again, Steve, we really appreciate the opportunity to collaborate with Spirit Fire.
Yes, it is joyful indeed. It is cosmic, in fact, many times.
And we have gratitude about it.
Yes, I appreciate it so much. Spirit Fire is an educational nonprofit, not unlike the School for Esoteric Studies. And our mission is to educate people on the importance of consciousness and spirituality in their everyday lives. We have our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, which is an online practice. We offer meditations throughout the week in the form of podcasts. We do that all year long. You can find out more about our practice at spiritfire.com under the meditation tab. We also do meditation retreats year-round at our retreat center in Western Massachusetts, which is quite beautifully covered in a blanket of snow these days. Feels very wintry. We do a number of silent retreats. We do Vipassana retreats, insight meditation retreats, mindfulness retreats, all based on the practice of living awareness. So you can find out more about our online programs as well and the retreat center at spiritfire.com. Wonderful. Dorothy. So, you know, listeners, I just want to perhaps, Dorothy, just talk a little bit about these seven principles just very quickly, because perhaps listeners are joining us for the first time. So we endeavored this year to talk about seven principles which underlie the way we exist and underlie our existence in terms of universal principles or laws. And we've spent a month on each one of these for 7 months. And that led us to this month with this, did I say lunch? Am I getting hungry? This month, which is about the cosmic citizen. So really bringing those all together to talk about the ways that they influence us as a greater whole. So in talking about hope, it will be interesting to talk about each one of those seven.
Absolutely, because one of the important aspects of hope is our focus. You know, what is our focus? What are the beliefs that we bring to our experience? What do we assume is possible or not possible? All of that feeds into the choices that we make and the options that we try out. So we've already talked about one of them, but let's be explicit, Steve, and that's interconnectivity, that we are all indeed connected in a large, one large energy field, and that this is really the essence of who we are, that we are wavelengths, we are energetic beings. Or if we put that in spiritual terms, we can go back to that quote that we reference so frequently from Pierre de Chardin, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not humans having a spiritual experience. So we are all part of this same energy field. So we already have a connection that we can leverage as we move forward in hope.
And so, yes, if we're feeling hopeless, it's often because we feel separate. We feel in separation from the world at large. And it is to recognize or realize or focus upon the fact that we are all a part of the one life, that it is intrinsic to life itself. And so that, in as you say, an issue of focus, it's also just, I would say, an issue of understanding, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. That understanding that to be really fact, and that there is so much evidence out there that supports that.
Mm-hmm. And then you, just before the break, you were mentioning the second principle, Steve, that of participation, that we actually create our reality through focus. And we have the choice of a hopeful focus, the glass half full, or a hopeless focus, the glass half empty.
Yes. My partner, Tim, Dorothy, he says that it really comes down to that. That will decide everything for somebody's life if they see the world as glass half full or glass half empty. That he believes that is a quite important aspect of creating our reality, and so it is.
Mm-hmm. And we can also say it's not just focus, but it's choices that we make. Because people may, if you haven't thought about it, you may find it difficult to embrace the idea that you are actually creating your reality. But here are some ways to think about it. When you interact with someone, you make assumptions. If you assume that their intentions are positive, you will interpret their actions in one way and there will be consequences. If you assume from the beginning that their intentions are not positive, it'll be very difficult for them to prove you wrong, and there'll be a whole series of consequences that follow from that. So you yourself have created those consequences. You've created the reality that you're going to experience.
Mm. And I would say that even looking at experiences without any sort of preconceived notion, it is, would be glass half full. This idea of, as we've said, you know, knowing we create our own reality, but also not having an expectation of what that will look like. You know, but just being hopeful and realizing, to be glass half full would also be to not make any judgment about it, but just know that what comes will be will have its place.
That's right, and it's really interesting to watch. You know, when people, I mean, you know, there's a certain reality that there could be a negative consequence, but people who hold the hopeful attitude that this can be resolved, that we can work this out, the likelihood of that then happening increases. And again, our universe is probabilistic. Nothing has 100% probability. It's always something that probably won't happen, but it could happen, or probably will happen, but there's always that outside chance that it won't. And we are the ones that influence what happens.
And also our perception of it, which is when it doesn't happen and we might read that as negative, seeing that perhaps there's a positive to that, you know, that sometimes mm-hmm. it's a learning process or it's necessary for a greater happenstance, that having hope of just understanding that change is inevitable, right? And that there's a process to everything is having these sort of understandings, as you say, focus upon these, it really does help to stay optimistic.
Well, and I would invite our listeners, if you haven't done this before, it can be very intriguing to look back on your life, pick a couple of crisis points where at the time it seemed like the worst possible thing that could have happened, you know, something that felt really devastating at the time, and then look at what happened as a consequence and anticipate what would have happened differently if that crisis hadn't occurred. And while there's some, you know, some things like deaths that we really wish hadn't happened, for me anyway, when I look back that way, I can see that actually what did happen opened windows into possibilities that I would not have had if I had gotten the outcome that I was very, very, very attached to having.
Yeah. Well, I think that actually leads into the concept of non-duality, which even that process is a non-dualistic approach where we think we have assumptions about this. If this crisis happened to me and this was the crisis, as we look back at it and we try to sort of think, ponder it and see what it led to, sort of re-examine the nuances of it, we're actually then realizing that it doesn't work in our benefit to sort of label and see something as this is now, that was then, this was that, this is the opposite, that would have been better. That non-duality has so much to be there's so much of it about the space between, you know, that situations are complex, life is complex, people are complex. We can't reduce anything down to a this or that, which is attachment, which does not allow for hope.
And this is the whole idea that our world is not dualistic is really fundamental to being able to, in a hopeful way, disentangle the building blocks that allow for violence, because it is labeling the other as someone that's not us, separate from us, that allows us then to do violence. And we see this played out in many different ways, but certainly along the southern border of the United States very clearly. If the people in charge saw all of those people at the border as their close relatives, people that they loved, people that they cared about, people who were part of their family, it would not be possible to treat those people the way in which they're being treated. But I want to draw another parallel while we're talking about this, Steve, because in terms of the languaging that you used, this is also very related to the principle of nonlinearity, right? That things, just as they are not A or B, there's no actual distinct dualities in our world. There are continua in terms of the way that we experience time. Actually, things are happening simultaneously, and we use the concept of past, present, future. We create those boundaries just to understand our experience. But time is not external to us. It's not, if you have trouble with that, think about the fact that when you are waiting for something that you really want to have happen, sometimes the time seems to just drag out. It's taking so long. And other times when you need time to get things done, it seems to go too fast. So it's a subjective experience. It's a way in which we talk about our experience. It's not an objective fact.
What also helps us to generate hope when we sort of think of hope cosmically, that cooperative components are coming together that are free of space and time. Goodness gracious.
Yes.
Does that ever just open it up to possibility? You know, I mean, it just seems that hope gets super magnified when we realize that we're not limited to this time-space reality, and that cooperative components are happening, in so many different ways. Very nice. Hey, Dorothy, we're actually at another break. So we're going to finish going through these seven principles just after these words. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it, and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change. That you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money, and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Welcome back, listeners. Dorothy, do you want to just simply pick up the conversation where we left off? We were going through the seven principles and their relationship to hope.
Yes, I wanted to comment on that nonlinearity principle, that another way of understanding it, of recognizing that our experience is not fixed in time, is to think about times when we've experienced, let's say we have an experience with someone and our feelings are hurt, you know, we really feel they've treated us with disrespect or however it was that we interpreted it. And then we have a chance to interact with them and to hear their side of it. And suddenly we realize that, you know, what we interpreted as disrespect or ignoring us was because they were really preoccupied with a crisis that was happening in their lives. It had nothing to do with us. And suddenly our memory changes. It literally changes, and we remember the interaction in a different way. So we always have the possibility of going back and healing the past, which I think is a very empowering way to look at things.
Mm-hmm. And freeing. There's so much freedom, and mm-hmm. and freedom brings us to options and options to hope. It all comes back around.
That's right. That's right. So another one of these principles, Steve, is interdependence. And this, I think, is particularly interesting when we think about what hope is, where we set goals and then we try different ways of achieving those goals. And the fact that we are actually interdependent with others means we don't have to do it all on our own. We can engage others. We can enlist others to work with us towards the common good. And that, it's like it lifts the weight off of us, right? It's not just yeah. up to us, but we can work as a group, which is then reflective of our cosmic reality, which is that we are all a very large group.
Yeah, that others are actually enlisted working with us. And whatever that others means to you, it's we live in an expansive universe. There is moreness. It is expansive in nature. And so, you know, change is constant. And so there is, you know, in a sense, others are enlisted. We are interdependent with the whole of the cosmos. So it is working with you. It's just a matter of getting aligned with it.
Mm-hmm. I like that term, moreness. That's interesting.
It's a great dash there.
Well, that reminds me of one of the principles, which is cooperation. That is another aspect of that we're not alone. All too often, we are told, or we read, or we see materials that describe the universe as a competitive place, right? And the strongest will win, and you've got to safeguard your corner. There's not enough for everybody. So, but in fact, we are not alone, and we don't need to compete for resources. And we grow and expand primarily through networking, even on a physical level. The cells network with each other.
Yes. And it always leads to moreness. You know, when we cooperate, we are in the process of creation of something new, of a new relationship. And so it will generate options. It will generate hope if you allow your vision, if you allow yourself to see the ways in which cooperation supports, you know, creating the new.
Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about the seventh principle, which is adaptability, which is particularly relevant to a discussion of hope, because we know that you need flexibility, you need experimentation in order to reach the goals actualize the goals that you would like to achieve. And that's what adaptability is all about. We are naturally facile. Our bodies change all the time. And so we actually know how to do that. Really well if we're not afraid, if we don't put ourselves in a position of being afraid of change. And so being able to modify our goals, modify our approaches, try different things, and not just imprison ourselves in the idea that there's one right way and we've got to figure out what that is or else there's something wrong with us.
Well, to me, that's really, really key. Adaptability plays such a key role. You mentioned it straight away at the beginning of the show, that if we are attached to one outcome, you know, we're really setting ourselves up. And to be hopeful is really quite broad. You know, if you just feel into that statement of I am hopeful about, you know, dot, 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 you can feel that there's a sort of a largesse to it. Whereas when we get locked in, when we become inflexible, or when we've got expectations or conditions around something, you can even hear when somebody says, oh, I hope it works out this way. You're really setting up a condition, which is either or, it better or. And so flexibility, adaptability, that seems to be such a key. When we get hopeless, it's because we feel we have no options. There are no options. So for me, it becomes a training of the mind that you have to really train the mind to look for options and remain flexible in situations and see beyond, you know, the black or white, the dualistic, you know, that can be a real training.
So, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Because I think what you're saying is particularly relevant at this time of year when we are headed in the direction of New Year's resolutions. Many,
yes.
Many people create them. And I think there are ways to create them with that sense of largesse and
yes.
ways to set them that are conditional. So I wonder if you could give us some examples.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, how much I appreciate you, Dorothy. There was a moment in last week's show, you know, where we were talking about the three gates in terms of language. And we were saying, is it kind? Is it true? Or is it necessary? Things to ask yourself before you say something. And you had mentioned, how would we look at that in terms of action? And you said, is it inclusive? We were sort of wrestling, we were discussing that word, is it true, as in language, as in what you're saying true? Well, an action, you know, is it inclusive? And I thought, what a wonderful intention that would be for the new year would be to find ways to be inclusive. And to me, that is hopeful. That is a large, you know, that's not to say, okay, my intention is to lose 20 pounds, which is, you know, right away I'm judging myself. I'm looking at limitations. I'm saying I've put on weight in this last year and my resolution is to take it off. And I want to take off 20 pounds and I will know the day I do it and I will have achieved my goal. Well, where does that get you? You know, it's so limited, right? It's not even hopeful. It's just a challenge. And can I live up to it or not? Whereas if we make an intention or a New Year's resolution that says, you know, in the new year, I'm going to find ways to be inclusive, or I will see that inclusivity is a keynote to my thoughts, words, deeds, actions. That's so beautiful and hopeful. That actually gives me energy to get up in the morning and find ways that my language might be limiting or might have resistance, which doesn't create an environment of inclusivity. So you gave me my New Year's resolution. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. When you were saying that about, you know, losing 20 pounds, what I was thinking was in parallel along that, you could say instead as an intention, my intention in the new year is to find multiple ways to be healthy or to treat myself in a way that enhances my health.
Yes.
And then, you know, there are different consequences that could come out, but it is, I think, again, that's an expansive way of framing it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, you had said that, oh, I just lost, never mind, I just lost my train of thought. I'm stuck on 10 pounds. It is, I know what I was going to say, that it takes work. You know, I always also appreciate this about you, Dorothy, is like there is an active component to everything. You can't just all of a sudden come up with a New Year's resolution, which is I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Well, you've got to go deeper than that. And you've got to ask, okay, well, what does the 20 pounds mean to me? You know, and what was the result of it, or how did I get here, and what's included in that whole scenario that I, you know, would like to reverse this, or how did it become an issue? And you would say, well, it's about my health. It's about my the diet that I choose. And so it's to broaden that, to do a bit of work and go further into it and deeper into it and say, it really comes down to my health and me being harmless to myself, to be gentle and kind and supportive of my body. So mm-hmm. yes, I would agree. It's that you've got to make it a bit broader than that and not so limited. Something you can attach to so readily. mm-hmm. So, Dorothy, we're actually at a good time, I think, for a break, because I'd love to just wrap this up the year and the segment in our next segment and just talk about ways that we could practice being optimistic and generate options. So I think if we go to a break now, it will give us plenty of time to do that. Sound good?
Excellent.
Perfect. We'll be right back.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough, separate from source. You're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners. Great to be with you. So, Dorothy, I thought it would be great to really talk about ways in which we can generate optimism. That's such an important aspect of hope, is to see options, to be optimistic. We already, you know, I would say number one is being flexible is just so important. Flexibility, gratitude, and appreciation. I'm wondering if you have any ideas about generating optimism.
Well, I want to comment on one methodology, which I think is actually quite important, but can get distorted, and that is holding that belief that it is possible for things to work out. It is possible through experimentation to find a way to reach a particular goal. where this gets distorted is when we say something like, well, everything will be all right, which can be said, like if somebody is in pain, if somebody is struggling, if somebody cannot really see a way forward, and we just say, oh, there, there, dear, everything's going to be okay. It's actually quite demeaning. It's quite dismissive. Yeah. Yeah. It's harmful. We need to be careful with this, but holding the belief that, in fact, it is possible with work, you know, with appropriate action. And if we're saying it to somebody else, if we're wanting to say it to someone else, then to me, we need to look at, well, what are the actions that we need to take to support that person to make that possible? We can't just kind of say, oh, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And it helps so much to write, to sort of brainstorm in that way. I find writing, you know, when there's a situation that needs to be turned around, there's always so much comes of being in group, whether it's just jotting down a group of ideas and then looking at them and seeing which one comes forward, or getting together with a group of people and saying, hey, can we brainstorm on this? So I find that process of creating various outcomes is really important, whether it's just through getting ideas from other people or just brainstorming yourself and writing them all down. I find affirmations, you know, along with writing affirmations down, that idea of sort of training yourself to be more positive and writing down positive outcomes can be a really good practice.
Well, and sometimes very specifically, I'll just share that I was at a crisis point in one of the crisis points in my life when I really, it was a very difficult period, and it was very easy for me to, I was finding it very easy to slide into a negative frame of mind and a kind of a hopeless feeling. So what I did was I wrote out a whole series of affirmations related to the outcome that I wanted to visualize, that I wanted to make possible, however it was going to come about. And I literally pasted them all over the walls of the places in my home where I was, where I go most frequently. And as I would pass them, I would say them out loud. So it was a training myself to stay focused on possibilities, on a forward movement. And things did work out. They didn't work out exactly the way I had originally envisioned them, but they did. We did come to a positive resolution. And that, I want to just also mention another thing that I think can be really powerful, and that is to watch our language, the use of and or but. So if I say, I would like to come over and I'm not sure what time that can work out, is different than I'd like to come over, but I don't know when that can work out. So it's like, it's a real downer. Do you know what I mean? Just
emphatically. Yeah, like switching it to the glass half full version.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So the and opens it up. It actually invites people in to contribute ideas, whereas the but kind of closes the door.
Well, it's
a very simple thing, but it can be very powerful.
Very, very powerful. And I can say that, you know, growing up, it took me a long time to process. If someone was talking to me and they were telling me an idea or asking me a question, it would take me longer than the average person, I believe, or I've noticed, it's been confirmed, to really, really process it deeply. I often will need somebody to repeat something more than once. And at a young age, what I learned to do was say no. I would say no all the time because I really just wanted it to pause and I wanted time to process it. So no seemed to me at the time, in my young, naive way, seemed to be the good thing to do so that it stopped for a minute and I could process it. And I realized, or I came to see how much sort of negativity and resistance that created. And as I got older, I learned that really to be truthful was to say, could you repeat that, please? Or could I have a moment to think about that? Or I'm not quite sure what you meant. And I'm liking what you're saying, but I'm not totally, well, I just did, but I'm liking what you're saying, but you get what I'm trying to say, is that to put in a spin on it that actually is more truthful, is more positive, and creates space rather than limitation is really so helpful in generating helpful and hopeful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That positivity.
So, let me see if I can reframe what you were going to say. If you were saying, I'm liking what you're saying, and I need a little bit of time to think about it.
Yes, yes, and I'm still in the process of understanding the fullness of it. You know, could have a bit more time? Oh, that's so beautiful. I can feel the liberation.
Another thing that I think is we can overlook, but. For me, it's made a great deal of difference, is to surround ourselves with people who are hopeful, who have a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
And who, so if this isn't working, okay, so what are three other ways we can think of moving forward? As opposed to spending my time with people who are very negative, who are only criticizing what other people are doing, without themselves trying anything or taking any risks.
Yeah, so very important. And feeds into this whole idea that we are all interconnected. We do participate. These are choices, you know, and when we connect ourselves to negative, downer, really limiting viewpoints, when we surround ourselves with people that have got that, it really does have a tendency to rub off on ourselves. So making choices to be clear of that. Dorothy, we're truly counting down. We really just have about a minute left. So
I know, but you have acronyms. When we talked about hope before, you had some beautiful ones. Please share those with our audience.
All right. So when we did the first Hope Show, I came up with some fun acronyms, and we've talked about it a bit. And one was having options promotes expansion. So indeed, it's fact. It's cosmic law that the more you see options, it promotes an expansion, and you will feel that expansion, and you know, the experience will shift. Another one was harnessing optimism provides evidence. So again, like the law of attraction. So sort of when we've got an optimistic attitude, we will see the evidence of this abundant universe. But I came up with some good ones for the new year. So I thought HOPE, a good acronym, is helping other people every day.
I love that.
Me too. So that goes along with my New Year's resolution to be inclusive in every regard. And I thought if we expand that to the cosmic level, that HOPE could stand for harnessing the omnipotent power of the electron.
I'm going to go back to helping other people every day because I really like that.
Well, you know,
brings it down to my everyday life.
Well, you know, the electron really does hold the energy that attracts. So in helping other people every day, you really are moving, you know, you're harnessing that power of the electron in attracting action, goodwill, and all of the wonderful things we've discussed all year. So, Dorothy, I hope you have a wonderful new year. And listeners, I hope you have a wonderful new year. It's been a delight to spend 2018 with you all and with you, Dorothy. So thank you ever so much always for your wisdom and listeners for your time. Any final words?
And we'll talk with you again in 2019.
We will indeed. Wonderful. Happy New Year, Dorothy. And listeners, we'll be with you again soon.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.